This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Later in the show, an issue of huge importance to many Massachusetts families, how to pay for end-of-life care and how to allow loved ones to die in their homes. Also, the play Brokeology, about an African-American family coping with some big existential issues.
But first, an existential pop quiz. If a lamp falls in the Big Dig and no one talks about it, did it really fall?
And what if people only talked about it a month later?
Ooh, way to turn that one back on me, Anthony. We are the Sartre and Camus of public radio.
Well, better than being the Patrick and Mullen of state government. And by that, we're referring to Governor Deval Patrick and Transportation Secretary Jeffrey Mullen,
who, it seems, haven't been having much of a dialogue recently, especially about the latest Big Dig problem, that 110-pound light fixture that fell in the Tip O'Neill Tunnel just a few weeks ago.
It's a problem that I was informed the day before the public was informed. And I've been clear about that with him and with you.
That's Governor Patrick today in Roxbury addressing a scrum of reporters. They wanted to know why Transportation Secretary Mullen didn't tell him about that falling light fixture until 6 weeks after it happened.
His team has some explaining to do to me. And he's going to bring a full account to me and to the public.
Because the thing is, today, we found out that Mullen claims his staff didn't tell him about the lamp until a month after it collapsed, even though he had initially taken full blame for not telling the public immediately after the incident happened. So is anybody talking to anybody up there on Beacon Hill?
Unclear. What we do know is this. There are 23,000 Big Dig tunnel lights, and more than a quarter of a million people use those tunnels every day. So now, a lot of people, including the governor, are talking about accountability and safety.
The most important thing, from my perspective, today is that the lights have been reviewed, the safety and security of them has been ascertained. There's a response to the problem of a potential risk to public safety.
The review found more than 300 lights were damaged by weather and corrosion. Temporary fixes have been made. So one problem fixed, sort of. But the governor also said today, hey, there's another problem. The facts, somewhat like the blame, just keep trickling down on Beacon Hill.
I think it's a problem not just for you all, but for me, that the facts sort of trickle out in bits and pieces. The secretary's going to get those facts now, report to me, and report to you.
Mullen says he is launching an investigation into why there was such a failure of communication in the transportation department.
Well, from something no one wants to talk about in Boston to something that just about everyone's talking about in Maine. That's where Governor Paul LePage, a Republican, has ignited the latest firestorm in the fight over labor unions that's been raging across much of the country in recent weeks.
At issue in Maine isn't so much union rights, but rather how or if labor should be portrayed in state offices. The governor has decided to take down a 36-foot mural from the State Department of Labor's headquarters that depicts, well, labor. Here's LePage explaining his decision to WRKO's Howie Carr yesterday.
I'm trying to send a message to everyone in the state that the state of Maine looks at employees and employers equally, neutrally, and on balance. And the mural sends a message that we're one-sided, and I don't want to send that message.
And joining us now to explain a little more about this story is Susan Sharon. She's deputy news director and a reporter at Maine Public Broadcasting Network. And Susan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So I'm trying to imagine what this mural looks like. CEOs with horns and pitchforks or what?
No horns, no pitchforks, but there are textile and woods workers depicted, pictures of children representing kids who worked in factories at a young age. There are women working in the shipyard during World War II, and there are a couple of scenes of two strikes, one at a shoe factory, I think about 74 years ago this very day, and one at the International Paper Mill in 1986.
So what does Governor LePage have against this? We heard that cut just a moment ago, but what more is he saying about what's wrong with this mural?
Well, you heard him say to Howie Carr yesterday, he thinks it's one-sided, that it takes a position in this ongoing struggle between management and labor, employer and employee. And his press secretary says he's not against history, he's not against art, but that this he just doesn't think that the Department of Labor is the appropriate place for this piece of art. And she produced a fax from an anonymous person yesterday who described feeling like he was in communist North Korea when he sat in the lobby of the Department of Labor with that mural. So Governor LePage is very much of the mindset that Maine should do all it can to be friendly to business, and he doesn't see that mural this way.
Hmm. Now, you spoke to the artist whose work was commissioned and presented there in the Department of Labor. What does she make of this?
Her name's Judy Taylor. She said she was very surprised about this. The mural has been on display at the department for 3 years now. She says she's never had a complaint about it. She says she used people as models for the mural from both business and labor. They participated. She also said she doesn't really want to get involved in the politics of this, but she feels that that her art is being misconstrued, misinterpreted, that it's only history, factual history, being depicted through art.
Hmm. And how have other folks around Maine reacted to the governor's decision to remove this mural?
Well, not surprisingly, it's just generating very strong reaction. You know, the newspaper blogs are loaded with this. It's generated strong reaction from union activists, labor historians, the Democratic Party, the League of United Latin American Citizens, and even some artists who have scheduled a news conference tomorrow to talk about the importance of art history.
Hmm. And I understand that it's not just the murals that's the problem here. The governor also wants to change some of the names on some of the conference rooms in the Department of Labor?
Yes, that's right. There are 8 conference rooms at the department named for activists, icons in the labor movement, and they're going to be renamed. They're currently named after such historical people as farm worker and civil rights activist Cesar Chavez and Frances Perkins, who was the first woman appointed to a cabinet-level position. She was the U.S. Labor Secretary under President Franklin Roosevelt. She also helped establish Social Security, and she has deep ties to Maine. There's a center here that's named after her.
Hmm. Now, give us a little context. Governor LePage elected this past November. What's his relationship been like with unions and with the business community?
Well, strained with unions, to say the least. The business community, I think, is really welcoming what they see as a new agenda in the state of Maine. And I should point out that with regard to the mural, one comment that I saw today in the newspaper was from the Maine spokesman for the National Federation of Independent Business, who says he welcomes the governor's sensitivity to the mural and to be including the business perspective at the Department of Labor. But as far as the unions and state workers, Governor LePage has already put them on edge by saying he favors Maine becoming a right-to-work state where collective bargaining rights would be weakened. He's also proposed in his very first budget to have state workers pay more for their pensions. He wants to increase the retirement age for some state workers and teachers, and he wants to cap their cost of living increases. So in the budget hearings, they have all said that they feel like he's trying to balance his budget on their backs.
And the mural, is it a done deal? Does it come down?
Well, it's going to come down. I don't know when. Hmm. And the governor has said he is looking for another public venue, a more appropriate venue, so that people can enjoy it in the place where it should be enjoyed.
Now, Susan, Governor LePage, known as a pretty outspoken guy, I gather this isn't the first controversy that he's waded in since he was elected governor up there, right?
No. There's been a series of them, but probably the most famous one, most recent and most famous, was just before the Martin Luther King holiday when the NAACP complained that the governor was not planning to attend their annual breakfast, which all governors have previously attended. And when Governor LePage heard about their complaints, he called them a special interest group and told them, quote, they could kiss my butt.
Oh, boy. Susan Sharon, reporter and deputy news director at Maine Public Broadcasting Network, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
And you can view a slideshow of the mural at our website, radioboston.org.
Coming up, why do most people die in hospitals and institutions when most of us want to die at home? We take a new look at end-of-life care in Massachusetts. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.